This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on India's action plan on robust and inclusive AI ecosystem. The participants are Abhishek Singh, Additional Secretary, Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, and Pawan Duggal, IT expert. The moderator is Momita Chatterjee Bakshi.
The Ministry of Electronics and IT organized the Global India AI Summit 2024 on July 3 and 4. The mega event saw ministers, top government officials, industry leaders and global experts converge to discuss the opportunities and issues related to artificial intelligence, with India firmly outlining its commitment to ethical and inclusive growth of AI. India aspires to establish itself as a global leader in AI innovation, ensuring that AI benefits are accessible to all and contribute to the nation's socio-economic development. At the same time, the GPAI Ministerial Council met and arrived at a consensus about its future vision of global partnership on artificial intelligence. Mr. Singh, let me start off with you. Could you talk about the size and scale of the event? What kind of participation did you see at the Global India AI Summit 2024? Who were the key speakers at the event? How many sessions were organized? And sessions were also live streamed, so there was, of course, a wider virtual participation that happened.
Yeah, Momita, as you know, the Global India AI Summit along with the GPAI Video Summit was held on 3rd and 4th, and we had very extensive sessions. Of course, the first part was the GPAI Media Summit, which India hosted. As you are aware, we had the GPAI Annual Summit last December, and normally GPAI has only one summit in a year. The chair country hosts that. And we, as the chair for 2024, we had done the summit in December, but our Prime Minister and our ministers had decided that we will be hosting a mid-year summit also, which is primarily to show the importance India attaches to artificial intelligence and global cooperation, and also to finalize the future of GPAI. The GPAI's existing structure was coming to an end on 30th June. We were in intense negotiations for the last 6 months to define the future outlook and how the GPAI will be structured, the integrated partnership with the OECD. So that was one reason that we hosted it, because the same thing was agreed upon and announced by all the member countries. We saw active participation of all the GPAI member countries, the 29 member countries, including the OECD, the UNESCO, who are the permanent observers to the GPAI. The Ministerial Council, we had very good international participation. And along with the GPAI's media summit, we also had the annual the India AI Global Summit Active, which has several sessions on all aspects of India AI mission. As you know, India AI mission has got 7 verticals, ranging from compute to foundation models to applications to data sets to skilling to startups and to building a safe and trusted AI framework. So on all these 7 items, plus other relevant issues with regard to AI governance, future of work, we had expert sessions in which we had the speakers from academia, from research institutions, from industry, from startups, came and spoke. The key speakers did include the top engineers from OpenAI, from AMD, from NVIDIA, from Intel, from Microsoft, from startups like Carya. Then we also had policy think tanks being represented. This is a diverse cross-section of AI experts and stakeholders who shared their thoughts on all issues related to AI. And the biggest takeaway from the whole summit was that the participation was very intense. We had like meeting rooms overflowing with people. We were standing, and they're standing for almost 90 minutes to hear the speakers. So that way it was very well attended. We had more almost 2,000 people attending in person, and the event was live streamed also, and we had almost 10,000 people joining virtually.
In March this year, Union Cabinet approved ₹10,300 crore for India AI mission. How do you see the India AI mission driving India's aspirations to be at the forefront of AI innovation? And where do you see India in the AI revolution in, say, the next 5 years? Mr. Duggal, Mr. Singh, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
We decide to dedicate a sum of 10,000 crores to the National AI Mission is itself a manifestation of the commitment of the nation, of the crystal clarity of vision of the thought leadership and the political leadership of the country, and the growing realization that artificial intelligence is not just any other new emerging technology. It is a transformative force which is going to have massive impact upon the way our nations are going to move. And India has crystallized AI as a vehicle of economic growth and also of national focus. I think we are giving a message of thought leadership to the world at large, which is to say, well, no good that you will just be on the sidelines and be in the wait and watch approach. But India is going far beyond. It's implementing, it's allocating requisite budgets, it's recognized AI to have an invaluable contribution in the national growth and the growth of the national economy. And I think are very well poised as a nation to take the best advantage of the constructive forces of AI as a transformational paradigm the various programs that have been planned over the next few weeks, months and years is itself a testimony to the commitment of India to AI as a long-term national transformational force, and the more focus on not just creating capacities, but also creating awareness and more knowledge creation and the creation of the requisite AI ecosystem. Those are, I think, unparalleled achievements of the government, because once the AI ecosystem is going to be put in place, which is robust, which is fertile, we are going to actually see kind of a huge nation's concern. But very quickly, apart from doing all this, we will also have to start focusing on other challenges that AI has begun to start throwing up, like regulation, like legal and policy and regulatory issues, which I think dwell in the anvil and the vision of the government.
Mr. Abhishek Singh, if I can ask you, so far as the Global India AI Summit is concerned, Mr. Ashwini Vaishnav, IT Minister, spoke about how IT Ministry is working to launch the India AI mission in 2 to 3 months. What, according to you, should be the key elements that would be important and critical at this point as India looks to launch this?
Honorable Minister announced that India AI mission is all set to be launched in the next 2 to 3 months, and it will entail the implementation of all the key 7 pillars that was approved by the Cabinet in March, which includes like the entire expenditure of 10,372 crore. And if you divide it, the 7 pillars which are there, one is of course setting up AI compute, because when we talk to all the researchers, when we talk to all the academicians and startups, one key bottleneck that they have is access to AI compute. So under that, more than 10,000 GPUs are being set up, for which MIT will be floating an RFP with subsidized compute at low cost to be made available for Indian researchers, Indian students, academicians and startups and businesses. Similarly, there is a component of building up India dataset platform under which all the datasets that are required for AI-based applications that will be developed will be made available for researchers and startups. Then there is another component with regard to building up an Indian foundational model. Because right now, all the foundational models which are there, whether you are using OpenAI's foundational model or Llama 3 or Google, they all are trained on Western datasets. So training and building an Indian foundational model is another component that is part of this project. So there is another component in this project which focuses on building AI applications. Here are a lot of applications being developed at the POC stage or a pilot stage, which are tackling problems in healthcare, in agriculture, in education. So 25 such applications will be identified through challenge rounds, through hackathons, and they will be scaled up and deployed across the length and breadth of the country. So that's a very, very important component. Then there's a component of skilling, under which we are regarded to be very strong when it comes to AI skill penetration. In fact, the Stanford AI Index ranks us number 2 in the AI skill penetration. But in order to ensure that we retain our advantage, there is a provision in the India AI mission for supporting every year 400 BTech students, 500 MTech students, and around 100 PhD students for taking up AI projects. Similarly, there is a provision for setting up data labs across the tier 3 cities, in which data labs will set up in ITIs, polytechnics, wherein students will be in the rural areas in the tier 2, tier 3 cities will be trained to become data scientists and data annotators. Then there is a component of startup financing, under which startups which are developing AI solutions will be provided funding support from the seed stage to the maturity stage. And then last but not the least, there is a vertical with regards to safe and trusted frameworks for AI, developing assessment frameworks to assess whether the AI applications which have been developed, they conform to the responsible AI and ethical AI guidelines. That's a very important component. So all these 7 components become very, very important. So what you will see in the next 2 to 3 months is a lot of call for applications, a lot of call for proposals, a lot for request for proposals. And once we're able to finalize that, the India AI mission will be in the position to be launched. So this is what Honorable Minister referred to when he said that we'll be poised to take up the implementation of India AI mission in the next 2 to 3 months.
AI has a potential to transform every aspect of our lives, our businesses and industries. As AI adoption gets more pervasive, how do you see its impact in areas like agriculture, healthcare, education and on society as a whole? I remember during the keynote, we heard a senior executive from OpenAI talk about how India is embracing and getting solid use cases in some of these areas.
Shiva Sarainar, in his keynote, he gave several use cases. He mentioned about how AI is being used for 10-bed ICU. He mentioned about the digital green initiative. He mentioned about how AI is being used to diagnose diseases like tuberculosis, like breast cancer. Then he also mentioned about how AI can be used for building other applications. So what we have seen is that a lot of startups and academicians have developed that. And in the India AI mission, we will be scaling many of these solutions. Pawan may add further.
I think there are n number of new use cases that India is currently going to see. You see, we have to realize that we are a country of 140 crore Indians and growing. Not just the most populous nation in the world, but also the most ingenious nation. and the nation with the maximum people subscribing to the Indian Jugaad School of Management. So I'm going to see a lot of Indian Jugaad going to be put on artificial intelligence, and we are going to come up with a new kind of applications and use cases which the world has still not known. And given the kind of vast, shall I say, potential of applications that could come up in agriculture, in healthcare, in banking, in insurance and other things, I think India is going to be seeing a great as a testbed for new use cases, particularly now in a country when we are actually wanting to have healthcare for all. There's AI has the ability to go ahead and further enhance not just the reach of the health program, but also help medical practitioners analyze at a far quicker speed the medical data and then come up with far more efficient healthcare solutions in this regard. There's going to be not a single element or a single discipline in Indian life which is not going to be affected. It is just going to see a huge bombardment of new kind of use cases and new kinds of creative utilization of AI. And I think that should even pave the way for how the world is going to look at. So at the end of the day, I see India at a very historically unique juncture and how India could potentially be using AI for a variety of purposes. And I think we're showing our, shall I say, creativity, our due diligence and our input. So I think the sky is the limit, and it will be very interesting in the next few months to see new cases and new case studies emerging in this regard.
Mr. Duggal, I also wanted to ask you, what kind of complex questions does AI raise at this point as our systems become more and more sophisticated? And related to that also, Mr. Ashwini Vaishnav, IT Minister, has called for global collective efforts to deal with risks and dangers posed by AI. How should India approach laws governing AI? What is the best approach that societies can take to mitigate risks from AI and yet harness its potential?
The advent of AI brings in huge volumes of positives, but there are immense number of new challenges. And one of the biggest challenges that countries across the world are still struggling to deal with are concerning the legal, policy and regulatory issues pertaining to AI. And I think this is one space where the Indian approach would be required at the earliest. Right now, when I look at the legal landscape, I find that India doesn't have a dedicated law on artificial intelligence. This is at a time when countries like the European Union, countries like China, and states like New York have come up with dedicated laws on AI. But having said that, I distinctly find that there is a need for us to have a more proactive vision built on the foundations that have been laid down by the Indian cyber law, being the Information Technology Act 2000. Seen from a holistic perspective, AI is at best nothing but the cognitive intelligence of machines. And since AI uses computers, computer systems and electronic data, some broad parameters of AI could be covered under the Information Technology Act 2000 and rules and regulations made thereunder. But the government of India is very clear that it does not want AI to go ahead and discriminate against the AI users, nor should it have any specific bias. So that's why when I look at the advisories issued by the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, the focus is a very crystal clear message to all AI companies. Please ensure all kinds of bias or discrimination. And of course, India has been very early mover to recognize the fact that AI could potentially have prejudicial impact on the integrity of the election process. And that was one thing that was specifically asked to be addressed by the stakeholders. But having said that, we will have to deal with contentious issues pertaining to hallucination by AI, pertaining to the legal sanctity or the legal validity of AI. Can we recognize or can we deal with artificial intelligence as a legal entity? Can we straddle rights, duties and responsibilities to artificial intelligence as an algorithm? Alternatively, if that's not possible, can we go through the route of intermediary liability, what the output is going to be generated by AI platforms and algorithms? So I think issues like that, further issues like the cyber security of AI being breached and need to be specifically addressed. This assumes more significance, for cyber crime is already begun to start raising its red flags. Well, AI and generative AI, thereby adding far more new challenges to how we can deal with the issues of AI and its misuse for criminal purposes. But I think all of these issues will require extensive deliberations, discussions, and proactive legal frameworks. we should potentially be taking forward the philosophy that we adopted in the year 2000 with the Information Technology Act, that let's try to make it legislation which has got generic provisions so that it can withstand the test of time and so that any kind of advancement of technology should not necessitate us to come up with more frequent changes in the law. Apart from dealing with issues pertaining to ethical aspects of AI, can law mandate the adoption of ethical principles by AI programs? Can ethical principles be forced upon the AI company?
Would you also say that some sort of a cross-border framework would be required because AI clearly is going to transcend the national boundaries?
AI has, like internet, has made geography history, new kinds of jurisdictional issues. So at the end of the day, countries have to realize that artificial intelligence is a global paradigm and it cannot be effectively dealt with at national levels through national legal frameworks. You will need to have in place international cross-border legal framework so that countries can join together in their initiatives and hands and efforts so as to regulate the misuse of AI at the international level. Well, in this regard, nothing much is happening. Only a few weeks back, we have seen General Assembly of the United Nations passing a resolution on artificial intelligence. We already have the UN Ad Hoc Committee on site deliberating on a new international convention on to prevent the misuse and communication technologies for criminal purposes. I think the ambit of that new proposed ICT convention needs to be expanded to deal with the issues of AI. But it's going to take a catalyst event at the international level for countries to start coming and huddling together just to come up with common cross-border legal frameworks. That's the need of the hour. The minister, Ashwini Vaishnaw, talks about these cross-border legal frameworks. He's bang on target. The world today needs the countries to join hands, join forces on minimum legal principles of common understanding, which are agreed upon, so that at least we can have some kind of a semblance of a cross-border legal framework at the international level, which can help countries to go ahead and effectively regulate AI at a global level and further help to give some sanity and some kind of a rule of law to the global international AI ecosystem that's begun to start developing at a very quick pace.
Mr. Abhishek Singh, I'd like to bring your voice in here. India has been advocating an inclusive and participatory global AI governance structure. It's pushed for giving a greater voice to nations from the global south in AI collaboration and policy making is being widely recognized and appreciated. Going forward, how do you see India's role in driving international cooperation and collaboration on AI governance?
India is poised at a very remarkably unique position as far as becoming a glue, a catalyst for the growth of cross-border legal frameworks. Why? Because India is leading by example. The thought leadership of India is getting well established as far as artificial intelligence and its vocation is concerned. And India has a requisite kind of stature right now at the international level where what India says is looked at with a lot of respect and people pay attention to what India is saying. So India is a very uniquely poised and placed to play a very fertile, significant role in pushing forward for a more inclusive AI legal framework so that we can assure that more responsible, ethical AI usage in the coming times. We also, I believe, can become the harbinger of change at the global level by advocating the cause of the developing countries. So, and India, given its unique position, can not just represent one of those developing countries, but it can actually ventilate the hope, relations and concerns of these developing countries as we come up with human legal networks.
Asking you about how should we go about addressing the skilling bit? How should we prepare the talent pool? Because there is a fear that while AI would boost productivity in a big way, it could lead to layoffs. So what kind of realignment of our systems would be needed as AI becomes a part of everything we do, Mr. Dugal?
Well, I think we need to have a change of mindset. We have to realize that we are now riding running tiger. And this running tiger is AI. We cannot get off this running tiger. So we will have to calibrate our strategies as we go forward. In this regard, skilling, capacity building, and creating more capacities should become the topmost priority. The reason for this is we need to dispel the notion that the coming of AI spells doom for all human employment. Sorry, yes, some jobs are going, but new jobs are emerging. New opportunities are coming in and new abilities are being created for the purposes of making not just people, organizations, societies and nations more productive and far more creative. So I think in this regard, we will have to, the manpower should be in a position to deal with the challenges thrown up by AI. They should be in a position to contribute in a positive manner to the further growth of the AI ecosystem, and they should be available at the right point of time to give a helping hand to the nation at large as the nation progresses forward using the immense force of AI. And I think for that, that's the reason the government of India has created the National AI Mission, which I believe is going to play a yeoman's role in creating more capacities within the country. The government is leading by example. The private sector has to join hands with the government and help in strengthening up not just new structures, new courses, and these will be mandatory across the various international ecosystem and also against the institutions at large.
I would like to also toss around one more question. Government has outlined its intent to democratize AI and to make it accessible to all. For India in particular, can AI accelerate the speed and scale of delivery of public services? How do you see the adoption of AI in government and in private sector at the moment? And how are Indian businesses adapting themselves to AI? If I could get both your views on this.
I would just like to add that there is a huge potential economic value and the value that public services can benefit by use of AI. Because right now what we see is that we are a great leader in digital public infrastructure. A lot of online services people are taking. But we also realize that online services are accessed by mainly people who are connected to the internet. There's 900 million people who have broadband or mobile internet or have access to a smartphone or a laptop and have the skill sets to do that. The larger population, the remaining 500 million people, for them to get onboarded, we will need public services in all Indian languages and hopefully voice-enabled services. So very often we see that even if we have an online service, for say example, advisories for farmers, but very few farmers are able to log on to a portal or download an app, navigate a CAPTCHA and get that information. But if the same service is available on a voice interface in all Indian languages, wherein a farmer can call a number and just give a voice command in whichever language that he wants to speak, or a mixture of languages also. He can use English, he can use a mixture of Hindi, English, Tamil, and if he gets back the response, one voice, that will really, really empower people. And that applies to almost all sectors. Potential of natural language processing, and especially with projects like Bhashini, is immense, and that's going to transform the way we look at public services greatly. And government also is built in, like a lot of programs, especially in the Mission Karmayogi, all government officials have been asked to do a course in emerging technologies mandatorily. So like every government servant has to learn how artificial intelligence can be used for improving their own work. A lot of applications are there wherein AI and data analytics is being used for decision making, like where to locate schools, where to locate hospitals, how to do predictive modeling. So that has become like a kind of inherent part of the way the government functions. Flood prediction is being done by use of AI modeling. So there's huge application of AI both in government and the private sector. Today almost every consumer company has adopted AI-based bots to do CRM. So we are seeing a great adoption of AI. In the next few months, to 6 to 9 months, I see this growing up and it will become a huge contributor to our digital economy.
Mr. Dugal, I wanted to get your views in on how you see AI adding speed to the dynamic entrepreneurial ecosystem of India.
India is seeing a remarkable and dynamic evolution of an startup ecosystem. And in that ecosystem, artificial intelligence is going to play a role of a catalyst. So I expect the AI to power large number of new startups in various applications and disciplines across the country. I also see massive advancements in these startups thanks to the huge speeds that's now possible thanks to AI and machine learning and the ability to go ahead and not just deal with but also analyze various huge big data sets. Those are going to be active components in the creation of more robust startups in the country. So I think it's a great time for startups in India to be doing what they are currently doing, because with this new power of the new AI algorithms, they'll be able to reach their vision, their mission, and their destinations at a much quicker speed. And that's the reason how AI is also going to act as a catalyst for further going ahead and pushing the entrepreneurial spirit envelope in the country onto the next level.
I was listening to the OpenAI vice president speak at the keynote at the summit, and he said that the company is very committed to supporting India's AI mission application development initiative. Now, going forward, do you see more and more companies and private sector at large getting interested in India's AI mission?
India is like a juggernaut. It's moving at a low but crystal clear speed, and people realize the intrinsic value of Indian initiatives, not just because we are the most populous nation in the world, but also because of the huge creativity that Indian mind brings to the table at large. And of course, India is going to be one of the biggest online markets in the coming times. So I expect more and more private stakeholder engagement in the AI ecosystem generally, and specifically in the context of governmental initiatives, because the private sector being involved with the government initiatives is going to be kind of a ratification of their credibilities and, shall I say, verification of their abilities of their algorithms. So I believe everybody wants to be a part of the great Indian march forward in terms of the AI economy, and I see very concrete terms that private sector would be more than keen to contribute their inputs in powering the Indian AI march towards progress. And of course, with the government also being very open and being very amenable to various models of public-private partnership in the AI, and now with the National AI Mission coming in, which is also going to ultimately propel more programs, more capacity buildings, and more capacities for enhancing the AI ecosystem in the country, I believe we would see more and more participation of the private sector in Indian AI application space in the AI ecosystem in India, and also specifically in the context of various governmental projects that the government of India and various state governments would be embarking upon, targeted at or focusing on artificial intelligence.
What are the three or four big priorities that nations like India need to have in place right now when it comes to artificial intelligence, given the fact that we agree that it's going to have a transformative effect, it's going to totally revolutionize the way we do citizen services right now, at scale, at perhaps lower cost, hopefully going forward? What should be the big priorities for us right now, also on the regulation side, right? We talked about regulations and how important a framework would be, both a multilateral framework, but also, of course, the nation's own laws that would come up. What would be the big areas to watch out for when it comes to AI?
As far as topmost first areas and priorities that India needs to watch out in the context of AI are, number one, the enabling legal framework for promoting the entire AI ecosystem. Now, we don't want an overkill, we don't want over-regulation, but we want just the minimal space of regulation that's required to give AI ecosystem a push, number one. Number two, India needs to specifically focus on championing the cause of the AI have-nots, because the coming of AI is going to now create a very diverse yet divided ecosystem of AI haves and AI have-nots. And therefore, once India stands up for the right and the hopes and the aspirations of the AI have-not in the AI ecosystem, that could also be a great moment for India to establish global thought leadership on these issues. And number three, I think we need to specifically start focusing on the significance of cybersecurity architectures in AI algorithms as we go forward. Because now cyber criminals, we have a one-point agenda of only focusing on breaching the cybersecurity of AI systems. And if you're able to breach an AI large language model or the algorithm per se, then your ability to go ahead and impact the output of the said AI program is going to be very high. So we have to start focusing on the cybersecurity ramifications of AI. In addition, we must start applying our minds as to what all kind of legal recognition do we need to give to AI? Shall we make AI as a legal entity? And if so, how do we deal with the right duties and responsibilities, not only of AI as a legal entity, but also of the AI developers and the AI users at large? Because the AI ecosystem is going to be as cyber secure as the weakest link, in which case the weakest links are going to be humans. And that being so, therefore, the focusing on the cybersecurity ramifications of the AI ecosystem will play a very important role if we want to really harness the positive constructive outcomes of AI. Otherwise, all good work on AI could potentially be jeopardized by these massive AI cybersecurity breaches, take away a lot of the benefits and the positives of this ecosystem. So those are some key thrust areas that I distinctly believe that India needs to focus on. And fourthly, if India can become a champion at a global level for championing the cause of a global AI regulatory regime, which could fall across borders and which could deal with some of the contentious jurisdictional and other issues thrown by AI as a cross-border phenomenon, that I think could also be a good starting point for India moving forward.
Mr. Abhishek Singh, Mr. Pawan Duggal, it was wonderful speaking to both of you. Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on India's action plan on robust and inclusive AI ecosystem. The participants were Abhishek Singh, Additional Secretary, Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, and Pavan Duggal, IT expert. The moderator was Momita Chatterjee Bakshi, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.